Welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Neurology. This podcast aims to bring you expert insights from a multidisciplinary team on the role of GLP-1 receptor agonists in the modern management of stroke in patients with type 2 diabetes. Financial support for this medical educational activity has been provided to Touch IME by an educational grant from Novo Nordisk AS. In this podcast, a neurologist and an endocrinologist discuss the current treatment guidelines for stroke management in patients with type 2 diabetes and the key clinical data that support them.
Hello, I would like to welcome you to this session. My name is Professor Georgios Tsigoulis. I'm the chairman in the second department of neurology in the University of Athens. I'm a stroke physician and I run an outpatient clinic which is focused on secondary stroke prevention. I have the great privilege to introduce Professor Tina Vilsbul, who is a clinical professor at Steno Diabetes Center in Copenhagen at the University of Copenhagen in Denmark. Welcome, Professor Vilsbul.
Thank you.
So we're going to discuss the recent guidelines with regard to primary and secondary stroke prevention in patients with diabetes. Tina will give us a brief overview with regard to the primary prevention guidelines, and then I will move on the secondary prevention guidelines. Tina, the floor is yours.
Oh, thank you very much. I think many of you know that we just had an updated version of the ESD ADA guidelines when we talk about type 2 diabetes in general. They were published during the ESD in Stockholm in September. And I must say, in short, I am a big, big fan of those guidelines because they're really great. They're evidence-based. They have a very intense focus on individualizing treatment for each of our patients. Secondary prevention will be taken care of Georgia's, but it's very, very important there that we go beyond glycemic control. If we talk about primary prevention, I also really would say that we have a lot of evidence today with our glucose-lowering drugs, so much more than with metformin and SU when they were the most commonly used glucose-lowering drugs. What the treatment today is split up into is two parts, you can say, when we talk about primary prevention. That is glycemic control and weight reduction. And I think especially the last point, looking into weight reduction, it more extensively is really, really important. If we talk first about glycemic control, then it is you have to consider every time you sit in front of a patient how efficacious a glucose-lowering drug you want. And on the top of the hierarchy, you have the GLP-1 receptor agonist and insulin, but insulin is actually lower down in the cascade of glucose-lowering drugs. So GLP-1 is really efficacious in respect to being a glucose-lowering drug. Then in respect to body weight, also the GLP-1 receptor agonists are on the top in that aspect. Many of our patients, they suffer from overweight or obesity, and I think it's very, very important to have that in mind when we talk about individualized treatment, not only in primary prevention, but also indeed in secondary prevention, because stroke, atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, unfortunately, goes hand in hand with obesity. So I think I'll bring it back to you, Georgios, and let us, you know, talk about secondary prevention, which is also very, very important.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Tina. I'm going to start with the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association guidelines. They're very evidence-based. They have a strong level of evidence with regard to ischemic stroke survivors for three indications. The first one is metformin. The second one is GLP-1 receptor agonist. And the guidelines highlight that this drug class is the most efficient in terms of secondary prevention based on multiple randomized controlled clinical trials and several meta-analyses without any heterogeneity with regard to the secondary prevention across the different trials. And in patients with coexisting heart failure and chronic kidney disease, then the American Heart Association guidelines recommend sodium glucose cotransporter 2 inhibitors in this specific subgroup of patients. Now, moving to the recent European Society of Cardiology guidelines, again, the first option is metformin, and then the second option is either GLP-1 receptor agonist or SGLT2 inhibitors in patients with concomitant cardiac or cerebrovascular disease. Finally, the European Stroke Organization, that I have the privilege to serve as vice president, has issued the secondary prevention guidelines. And these guidelines are based on the GRADE approach. And the GRADE, for the GRADE approach, it is mandatory to consider trials that have as endpoint stroke prevention. And with regard to secondary stroke prevention, there was one only positive trial with regard to the primary endpoint. It was called the IRIS trial, and the medication that was tested in the trial and had a positive effect in stroke prevention was pioglitazone. And I would like now to give the floor back to Tina, because using pioglitazone is very challenging in secondary stroke prevention, especially in patients who have heart failure. And there are multiple side effects of pioglitazone. And I would like Tina to give us a brief overview with regard to this agent.
Yeah, I think I'll actually make it short, because I have actually myself never, and you might be surprised about that, I've never prescribed TCDs to patients with type 2 diabetes. Even I would say if Pio was the last drug I had on board, I would be very reluctant in using it in these patients. Because today we have so much more in our toolbox, and especially the GLP-1 receptor agonist and the SGLT2 inhibitors, they are just so efficacious in both primary and secondary prevention. So we need to have also the ESO guidelines updated with that. There are trials ongoing right now with respect to GLP-1 receptor agonist and stroke. And of course, we need those data. But it's always a balanced, an individualized approach, all the other benefits that we get out of the GLP-1 receptor agonist. So for me, the choice is easy. I would go for a GLP-1 receptor agonist or an SGLT2 secondhand much before a pioglitazone.
Yeah, I would like to highlight that the European Stroke Organization guidelines took into account secondary prevention, both for diabetic and non-diabetic patients. Yeah. And the IRIS trials included mostly non-diabetic patients because of the pleiotropic effects of pioglitazone. But currently, the secondary prevention guidelines for diabetic patients focused only on patients with diabetes are underway. And I'm sure that they will show a totally different recommendation. Now, with regard to the safety of GLP-1 receptor agonists, because I think this is very important, and this has been highlighted in both primary and secondary prevention guidelines, I would like to acknowledge the fact that the hypoglycemic effects are very, very seldom, very, very uncommon in the randomized clinical trials and the real world evidence, at least in terms of the secondary stroke prevention field. Tina, would you like to comment on the safety, which is highlighted also in the guidelines of GLP-1 receptor agonists?
Yeah, it's absolutely right that there is no risk of hypo. That's also why we now use GLP-1 receptor agonists in obese individuals without type 2 diabetes, because it's simply doesn't work if glucose goes down. Then we've learned a lot from all the CVOTs. Now we know that there are more than 200,000 individuals who have actually been in a CVOT. And we've talked much about pancreatitis, pancreas cancer, C-cell changes. And in short, all those trials, when put together, there are no indications of changes in the thyroid function nor an increased risk of pancreatitis. We know that patients with obesity and type 2 diabetes per se have an increased risk of pancreatitis. And besides that, I would say there are also a small increase, 2 to 4 beats per minute with respect to heart rate, but it doesn't impact the results in respect to MACE or major cardiovascular events. So in short, GLP-1 receptor agonists are safe, they're efficacious, and they have a sustained effect on many of the things that we appreciate in respect to preventing cardiovascular disease. And by that, I of course mean, yes, glucose, but also blood pressure, body weight, liver enzymes, visceral fat, and then the magic bullet, I would say, the change in atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, which is being investigated intensively these years.
Yeah, so if we would like to summarize the session in within 20 seconds, I believe that all guidelines align, both in terms of primary and secondary prevention, that GLP-1 receptor agonists are very safe. They reduce the incidence of first ever and recurrent stroke. They have pleiotropic effects, and they're very safe in terms of their use. Thank you, Tina.
I fully agree.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Neurology at www.touchneurology.com. Don't forget, there are three other chapters in this series, so please listen in for further insights from the multidisciplinary team.